Get ready, because Scott's is taking over Daylight Saving Time. It's such a big event that we're calling it Daylong Saving Time. And now it's got real savings. In fact, it's the biggest deals of the year. Audacious? Absolutely. So don't wait. Stock up early and you'll be able to save up to $20 on Scott's Triple Action and Easy Seed products today at the Home Depot and Lowe's. Offers available March 9th through 22nd at select U.S. stores, while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See store for exact offers.
It's time for the Draft Dudes Podcast.
What's better than this?
Your hosts, the Draft Dudes themselves and co-founders of the Draft Network, Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino.
Guys being dudes
on the Draft Dudes Podcast.
And it's... Get ready, because Scott's is taking over Daylight Saving Time. It's such a big event that we're calling it Daylong Saving Time. And now it's got real savings. In fact, it's the biggest deals of the year. Audacious? Absolutely. So don't wait. Stock up early and you'll be able to save up to $20 on Scott's Triple Action and Easy Seed products today at the Home Depot and Lowe's. Offers available March 9th through 22nd at select U.S. stores, while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See store for exact offers.
Starts now.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs. We're your hosts. Chris Schubert's here floating around producing this thing. We're from the Draft Network, and we're brought to you by Bet Online, your number one source for all your sports betting needs. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends over at Bet Online. They feature live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. There's every sport. So head on over to betonline.ag to join and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Just be sure to use our promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. It's BetOnline, and it's where the game starts. Kyle, a very happy Annoy Squidward Day to you.
SpongeBob.
They have a day for that? That feels like just every episode.
Well, this was the day on the show, SpongeBob. It was the Employee of the Month episode where... he became Squidward became so annoyed at SpongeBob that he announced it is Annoy Squidward Day, and so that was an episode that aired on February 15th, and so now every February 15th we acknowledge this.
Let's go somewhere else with SpongeBob. Okay. Favorite character on SpongeBob.
Oh boy,
Chris, Joe, you have to have an answer. Even if you don't want, just say Patrick Starr. It's on brand for you.
If you say SpongeBob, I'm going to be upset. But
Joe's favorite character should be Patrick Starr.
I know who mine is. Because as a kid, I didn't resonate with this character. But as I've grown older, I now understand.
Squidward?
I know, Plankton. I totally get Plankton now, man. I just get him. I just understand. Guy just wants to be seen, you know? Guy just wants to be accepted.
I mean, Mr.
Joe's up here looking at the IMDb, looking for
Mr.
character
Krabs.
Names.
I like
really
good Mr. Krabs.
Money.
I like money.
Gary,
that's the snail.
Larry the Lobster, really good character.
That's the bodybuilder, right?
Yeah,
it is. What's the what's SpongeBob's dad's name? Because that feels like Joe.
Who's this?
SpongeBob's dad.
Yeah.
Mr. SpongeBob.
No, that's Mr. SquarePants. Thanks, Joe. Really appreciate it. No, because he's got a first name. Hold on here.
SpongeBob's dad. Oh, of course. It's Harold.
Harold.
Of course.
Harold
he's a potato. You know what? Look at this guy. We never saw him before.
We kind of have a Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy shtick going on in the show sometimes.
With what?
Well, Mermaid Man constantly makes mistakes, and Barnacle Boy Mermaid Man constantly forgets things, and Barnacle Boy is just kind of like the instigator in some ways. I feel
right.
Like that's us sometimes.
Okay, do you have a favorite SpongeBob moment?
I have a favorite SpongeBob
sure I've ever
episode.
Seen an episode
Come on, Joe. Yeah, like you would like that more than Rick and Morty. We'll try that next time we're together.
100%.
We'll try SpongeBob.
I don't think this is something I should be picking up at age 36, you know?
Daughter's going to watch it eventually.
Think so.
Yeah, stop.
Okay.
Maybe.
What do we think the highest rated SpongeBob episode is on IMDb?
Oh, jeez. From a number or the actual episode? Because this is not a Joe question either way. But
so SpongeBob's mother is a rating perspective. His dad is a potato and she's a cookie.
I was unaware of this.
I didn't know this either.
I mean, just looking at the pictures of them that I've now Googled here.
Well, usually they're sea creatures. So are you sure that he's something
like
that's not
a potato?
A
cookie to me. Look him up. I'm going to tell you. You're the SpongeBob guy. You should have seen these guys.
Okay, here's the top rated. Wow, that's tough. I did not think that was going to be. My top rated episode is number 7 on the list, tied for number 6.
Can I give you just a couple episodes and you tell me if they pop up in the hierarchy?
Sure. It's going to be tough for me to remember.
When they have to paint Mr. Krabs' house.
That's number 2. It's
number Oh,
two.
That's number 2. Let's go. Let's go. When they're looking,
because he says don't get anything on the floor, and they're like very carefully, and the
right.
one little drip hits the
right.
floor, and then
right.
they realize that the paint's like removable.
You can lick it off. The driver's ed class where SpongeBob takes driver's ed with Mrs. Puff, and he has to learn to use the big toe.
That's you're talking about the one where he cheats, right?
Yes. Yes.
I don't see that one.
Okay. How about
I don't know
when,
the name of it.
What? How about when SpongeBob goes into Sandy's enclosure with the pitcher of water and acts like an above-ground creature and
ones.
Dries out?
Yeah. That one doesn't look like it's on there either. High up. Not in the top 10. No.
How about when they're looking for I forget what they were doing, but like the perpetrator, and it was SpongeBob?
SpongeBob meets the strangler. No, that's
yes.
That's number 14. I know the one you're 14? Talking about. That's 14th on the list, but I don't think
that's the wee woo wee. That's the wee woo wee woo wee woo. We're Patrick.
But SpongeBob, I'm in the mailbox.
I think that's all the ones I have.
The number one episode is Band Geeks, where they're in the band.
Oh, is that where
is
they do
mayonnaise an instrument?
Yes. Yes.
No, Patrick, mayonnaise, horseradish isn't an instrument either.
What about Kevin? Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin. I don't see that one on there.
Damn,
man. My favorite one, which is Rock Bottom, when he takes the bus down to the rock.
Yes, bottom. Yes. They're standing at the bus stop waiting on the bus.
And he's pushing the chocolate bar, and that like it makes the bus move. That's number 7.
Yes.
Joe is.
All right, I got one more. Okay. I got one. When he goes jellyfishing.
When he goes jellyfishing, okay.
In the field?
That's 21. That's 21 on the list.
I got two top 21 episodes in my own.
Some other big ones. The pizza delivery. Krusty Krab pizza. Number 10 on
the list. Is the pizza. What about F is for friends who do stuff
fun.
Together.
Yeah,
U
is
for you and me.
Where was fun? I saw fun. Hold on.
And Plankton is just like, F is for fire that burns down the whole town. U is for uranium.
29. 29 on the list.
God, we're dumb. Okay, so anybody who's listening, it's about the 8-minute mark that we start
yeah,
football
talk. After the
intro
and everything, it's
yeah,
probably a little north of
the 8-minute
eight
minute
mark.
And Joe's been quiet for about
shift?
5 minutes now.
The
ghost?
Graveyard shift. With the ghost, the hashing slasher, with the light switch. That's
what was
5.
The what was the pirate's name on the ghost ship?
The Flying Dutchman, right?
Yes, 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 yes. Of course.
Oh, where's the one with the, where they play where they're digging for the buried treasure, but it's just a board game map. Mr. Krabs takes the board game map, and he makes it another good one.
Joe, you have to watch this show.
I didn't expect this from Chris. I thought I'd
Joe, this show's
something
excellent.
With Kyle.
Chris and I are on the same wavelength with entertainment much more
Chris's
than you.
Chris's identity was rooted in SpongeBob. This was an unexpected plot twist.
Well, remember, he's like 5-6 years younger than us. So, like, I was a little old when SpongeBob first started becoming a thing. That was like when we were watching Rugrats. Chris was watching SpongeBob.
It's true. It's true.
Wish I would have said happy Canada's Agriculture Day to you.
Well, you didn't, and you've created a 10-minute vortex.
National Gumdrop Day.
At the top of the show.
Apologies, everybody, in advance. Yeah. The TV 100 drop.
Apologize.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
If you don't like it, you can hang up. Come back, see us again tomorrow. I don't apologize for anything.
So the latest TD 100 drop, the post Senior Bowl edition, the February edition of the TD 100, and I have a good launching point for us that I'd like to ask the two gentlemen here. This is my second full draft cycle with you guys, going through the entire process, and I would love to know how you properly contextualize and properly weight and value and put together what you saw at the Senior Bowl, because there are players who obviously are not eligible to go to the Senior Bowl. They're still good players. You still want to weight them accordingly. You don't want to have a recency bias for what you saw at the Senior Bowl. So how do you approach, hey, I know I got to move these guys up, or I know I got to move this guy down because of what I saw, but how do you not overdo it in one way or the other?
I think by nature, the way that we attack the scouting process, with it being regional, and then we get to cross-checks with the cross-checks coming after the Senior Bowl and really after the Combine, it's an opportunity for us to gain a really good exposure to players that we've heard about. We've had people that we trust tell us all about them. There's been good scouting reports written on the players, but it's your first opportunity to really get your eyes on them through that lens and kind of piece it together. And so for the players that are not in my region, which are most of them, I find it very valuable in helping me establish my baseline for those players. For the players in my own region, it's certainly a confirmation tool where if I see the things that I saw on tape and what I wrote up, I like
lock them in.
Feel like you know the player. If you see things that are contrary to that, it's time to ask yourself questions and maybe go back to the tape and reconsider, which happened for a handful of guys for me this year in both good and bad directions. So it's just a really important exposure and opportunity to see 120 of the best players in the country on the same field doing actual football things, and helps me stack the board. It really does. But yeah, I think it's finding discrepancies between what the tape told you and what you saw during the week of practice and during the game.
I agree with Joe. Just about everything about this process isn't an exact science. And the more you do it, the more you find your own identity within it and what's comfortable for you and so on and so forth. So the big movers for me were, as Joe said, guys who are not in my region that I had not watched other than passively or in passing in watching other players peripherally. And then getting a chance to see them in an intimate, up-close setting. We were on the field for all 3 days of practice. We were on the field for the game. So we were about as close to these players in a game and live football setting as you can possibly be. The ones that, for me, most moved the needle were the ones who I had not watched. Joe, I guess my next question is this conversation evolves, is it kind of falls in line with what Chris was asking about the ever-evolving opinions of players and how fluid this process is until you get to probably a month from now to a month and a half from now is where things really start to get concrete. How many players, and I don't know if you have this information available, but I would hope your sheet that you have for your own balloting would allow you to pull this information up. How many players in your top 32 were not ranked when you did your first ballot back in September?
How many players that are currently in my top 32 were not in there
for the first TDN 100 ballot that we did in September?
I don't have an easy way to give you that answer.
Oh, you don't do it that way?
I have them all logged, but they're all in separate sheets. It's not like that.
So that maybe this is something that you'd be interested in. Maybe it's something that you're not. But if it's not something that you're interested in, hopefully it's something that somebody who's listening to this podcast would be interested in. I have a sheet, right? 1 through 100. Then I have the name, the position, the school. And then every month gets a column. And I add a new column between the players and the previous month's rankings every time I do an update. and I update it that way with the filters so that I can go back and then filter 1 through 100 in September, October, November, December, January, February. And that allows me to have a good starting place to update my rankings, but then it keeps it all on one sheet. And maybe you don't like it that way because you don't want the influence of the previous month. So this can be a good process discussion for if you've done it that way for a certain reason or not. But that's how I do it because I like to get that visualization of the evolution of what my rankings look like month to month in the same sheet where I can see what the rankings look like.
I can tell you that I do have that data for the TDN staff, and I know that of our current top 32 players, 12 of them were not on the original August board. So that I do have it for the whole team.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. For me, it's 5. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Not in the top 100 at all.
Oh, I thought 32 in the top 32.
No, okay, I mean in general.
Yeah,
no.
Oh, for the total staff, it's 1, 2, 3. It's 4.
4. Okay, yeah, so I have one more than the consensus of the staff then. And the 5 for me were Devin Witherspoon, Illinois.
Same for the staff.
Luke Musgrave, same tight end, Oregon State.
Yeah.
Lucas Van Ness, I can't imagine the staff had that one nailed down.
Nope, he's one of them.
Keon White was 29 for me. In my recent update, he was 101.
That's the 4 for the
AKA
staff.
Not ranked.
Yeah.
And then Drew Sanders was 31 for me. I don't think he qualified as top 32 in the.
Yeah, he's 35.
But I don't think we had him ranked either because he was a transfer from Alabama. That's what's most fun to me, to see what names spring up throughout the process. And then if you extend it to top 40, then I got Tuli Tuipulotu, Jalen Hyatt, and DJ Turner as players that were not ranked on my initial ballot in September as well. So 8 of my top 40, which I'm not a math guy, but that's 1 out of every 5 players, I think. Is that right?
Draft dudes do math.
That was me, by the way. So where do we want to go from here?
Well, I want to lean into kind of Chris's point about the Senior Bowl and its influence on
make me feel like a
player movement.
Piece
of
crap.
No, I liked what you did there, but I think that when you consider the biggest risers on this iteration of the TDN 100, 4 of them are Senior Bowl guys. And it's Luke Musgrave, Keon White, Edge from Georgia Tech, Luke Musgrave, mm-hmm. tight end, Oregon State, Matthew Bergeron, offensive tackle, Syracuse, Julius Brents, cornerback, Kansas State. 4 of the top 5, the 5th one being Joe Tippmann, the center from Wisconsin, were our biggest risers of the 5 biggest risers, guys that you can think about their time at the Senior Bowl and foiling it against what we knew about them beforehand and getting validation to the measurements. Like, all of those guys came in with great size. All of them, Bergeron, Brents, White, Musgrave. And you could realize that getting that official measurement, seeing the skill set up close and personal, and then foiling it against the tape led to those guys being among the biggest risers, or the biggest risers, excuse me, in our latest iteration of the TDM 100.
Well, case in point for me personally, the top 4, Luke Musgrave, Keanu Benton, Sidney Brown, and Will McDonald.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, my personal ballot risers. We're also all Senior Bowl participants.
Yeah, Sidney Brown and Will McDonald for me as well, too. I mean, McDonald's a player that I wasn't super familiar with. I knew he had production, but it's kind of a lean Big 12 pass rusher, didn't move the needle when you just kind of take that elevator pitch. But seeing him in person, I like his body composition for his listed or his measured size, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. also showing some power that I can believe in and showing some movement skills in space that leads me to believe that there's a lot of different things that he can do to help a defense. So, yes. Yeah, that's all really good stuff. And, you know, the measurements are big, man. We talk about this all the time, where if there's not a lot of guys at that size doing it in the NFL, don't sit here and cling to this one being the exception. Maybe he will be, but in this journey of risk assessment, align yourself with likely outcomes. And I think that getting hard measurements is a big part of the process.
On the other side of that coin, I know I did this for two truths and a lie last week, but my three biggest fallers were also Senior Bowl participants in Isaiah Foskey, Chase Brown, and Rashee Rice. And then Derek Hall was also amongst the top five fallers for me from last month to this month, as far as performers who in their final football setting, in a setting that kind of everybody was dealing with equal variables and as equal footing as you can, eliminating level of competition and fields you're playing on, since that was a big thing with the Super Bowl this past week, so on and so forth. Those guys were players who I thought had big opportunities, you had high expectations for, that did not necessarily hit them. Chris, you looked very confused.
Oh,
this is fun. This is, we're, don't this know is what Tuesday. It is. This is Tuesday afternoon.
We're
no clue what's happening.
Yeah, we're recording this show on Tuesday for Wednesday. Aaron Rodgers went on the Pat McAfee show. The Darkness Retreat has
what color was it?
What's
wearing,
going on right here? I was told that we were, this would have been day three today.
No,
I know he's not. No, he hasn't gone in yet.
Yeah, but
he,
what color is he wearing before he goes into the Darkness Retreat
yet? You know, that's a great question. I just see a tweet that he just said that his Darkness Retreat starts at the end of the week. I don't know what color he's wearing.
If I were going into a Darkness Retreat, I probably wouldn't tell anybody
this.
I'd probably just do it.
But that's the point.
You would just do it.
The point is attend.
Right. That's the bit. That's the bit.
What's that country? I want to talk about me. Right. Like, what's
it? I want to talk about number one.
All right. He's
neutral.
He's wearing a gray shirt. He's wearing a gray shirt on a white gray wall, and his hair is messy. So I don't know what we're going to read into this, but I guess I feel like
that's the second time he reports lied to you this week.
Started and
interesting. It's the Vic Fangio signed a two-week contract with Eagles.
I feel hurt.
Bullshit.
I feel hurt.
Well, slap that E tag on there, baby.
Wow. You hate for that to be the reason why, though, you know?
That's true. It is true. Ooh-wee! Sorry, I didn't mean to derail you guys talking about the TD.
Well, it's National Noise Squidward Day, so I think it's appropriate to know your coworkers, right?
SpongeBob.
That's how he talks?
He plays the clarinet.
It's baffling to me that you've never seen a second of this show.
He plays the clarinet.
Yeah.
In the water.
He plays the clarinet.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
We got him now. He's interested now.
No, I mean, I think I should have always thought it was ridiculous that they talked in the water, but I could accept
and he
that
lives,
for shark
he lives in like a big,
watched.
Like
a pineapple.
Coral.
Oh, SpongeBob.
That's SpongeBob.
Yeah.
It's like a coral rock.
Bikini Bottom, right? That's where he lives in there, and it's pineapple.
Yes, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I've seen this. I'm familiar. Bottom, yeah. There's enough memes out there for me to piece it together.
Yeah, so he lives in like a coral version of like the Stonehenge heads.
Yeah.
Is Squidward's house.
Okay,
and
well,
he plays the clarinet.
Can you compare Squidward to a 2023 NFL draft prospect?
Is there one that makes sense? A big
maybe
curmudgeon.
Somebody from the TDM 100?
A curmudgeon would be the...
Big curmudgeon. I don't want to do this to any of the players. I don't want to.
Well, who's the revered character? Is anybody, are these characters likable? Who did you guys say your favorite character was? You said it couldn't be SpongeBob, which is weird because it's literally...
I'm contractually obligated to say Mr. Krabs.
Okay, who's... Give me a comp.
Right,
give me a SpongeBob character comp. The world is your oyster. Pick one.
World is your oyster, he says, talking about SpongeBob.
Yeah, you knew what he was doing there.
Are there oysters in there?
No, I don't think so, but...
Well, hold on, because doesn't... Does Pearl live in, like, a clam shell?
She does.
Right?
She does.
She lives in a clam shell.
Yeah.
Opens up. This show is great, Kyle. Or Joe, you should watch it.
I am down the rabbit hole of trying to find a comp for Mr. Krabs. Cody Mauch?
I
red.
Think that's a little unfair.
The
to
color red. The builds. The build is similar.
I feel like you're forcing this.
I am forcing it because you asked me to come up with a comp for Mr. Krabs.
Creative and thinking on your feet with aligning your favorite television.
I'm sitting here looking at my TDM 100 and nothing's just popping off at me.
Wow. Okay. All right. I'm not, don't have to force it, man.
Sorry. I didn't mean to derail with the darkness retreat. I feel like this is all my fault.
It is. It is.
We were talking about TDM 100. We were on track. Here we are.
Hey, Joe, did Isaiah McGuire make your top 100?
No, he didn't. No.
Fell out. I was. Chris is laughing like I said that to be a dickhead, but I'm not.
It felt like that was by design. He was needling your friend.
No, because he.
Hey, Kyle, where was Chase Brown on your.
Oh, there it is. Here we go.
Chase Brown, I believe.
Okay, stop the show. Here we go. The next 15 minutes is going to be this.
Battle of the boards breaking out here. No.
No, I think Chase Brown did make mine. I'm going to have to control F it. Chase. Not with two A's. Chase was 88th, but he was 70th the previous one. Isaiah McGuire made mine 93rd.
Nice. I'm trying to see who the highest player that you have ranked that I do not. Oh no, I wish I didn't bring this up.
Is it bad for me or bad for you?
You're going to be mad at me. The highest player.
I know who it is. I forgot. Is it?
We'll do it the other way around.
Is he from the state that's known for crab cakes?
This state is not known for crab cakes, I assure you.
Oh.
This would be one of the places in the world I would not be interested in having crab cakes in.
Okay.
It's a state. It's a state that is surrounded by land. There's right. No water.
There's famous water in this place.
Just
but
say
it's
Pukenukua. Somebody from Oklahoma.
Pukenukua. Oh. Didn't have him. Sorry.
Me or you?
I didn't have him. It's the highest player that you had ranked that I didn't have in my top 100 ballot.
You're
the
a
other
piece
way
of
around,
shit for that. Well, it was Deontay Banks. I forgot Deontay Banks.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Kyle.
I'm not proud about it, and I wanted to adjust it, but it was too late.
Oh, boy, there's even more.
Of people that he missed?
Well, I have three top 50 players that Kyle didn't rank at all.
Yes, I haven't watched Tyler Scott yet. I have no gauge on whether or not he's a thing or not. You gave a
you
very
Tyler
low
Scott
review.
Is a top 50 player?
49. Joe does, yes. He's got him 49.
Wow. Yeah. Love that. He was in I think Dane Brugler just released a big board.
Oh,
he had
he
Tyler Scott as a top 50, 44, I think.
Okay.
So you were.
Wow, that's interesting.
And then Byron Young is the other one.
Yeah, man, I'm in.
The Tennessee Byron Young or the
Alabama Byron Young. Give me the elevator pitch on why he's not like every other gap control, low ceiling defensive lineman for Alabama.
Sometimes that's Deron Payne. No, I just think.
Touche. Okay. Like you got me.
Well played, Joe. Well played.
The thing about Byron that I really like is, yeah, I think there's a baseline floor. There's a high floor here that I can appreciate as a one tech that I think has some rush upside. It's not going to be what he's known for, but like, I think he's such a high floor player at a position where I just don't love the other options. So that
can you contrast him to Fidarian Mathis for me?
I didn't like Fidarian Mathis.
Neither did I. So that's why
I like him a lot more, a lot more. I think he's physically more interesting to me than Fi Mathis too.
Chris, one thing we have not discussed, Joe has two Cincinnati wide receivers in his top 70.
Yeah, yeah. I like Trey Tucker too, man.
Did you get Ivan Pace in there, Joe?
No,
he did not. He did not.
Back to what I was saying about list. Give me the list of 5'10 linebackers. Oh, London Fletcher and Sam Mills. Well, you know, I'm not going to count on him being the next one of those.
I'm sitting here trying to find who are the players that I had highly ranked to give you grief that you also did not have ranked. And then I realized the sheet that I pulled up to cross-reference all of our grades side by side is the same one that you have, and it's listed in order, descending order of your rankings.
Right.
So I have to keep scrolling down and down and down and down and down.
Kyle, you push the buttons. You have the
world is my oyster. Is that what you're saying?
Oysters.
That's what he's saying.
Okay.
That's what he's saying.
Good oysters there in the Chesapeake Bay.
That's right. Travis Hodges Tomlinson, you're also officially out on. No love for Michael Wilson from Stanford.
Close. You guys were close for me. What do you mean? I'm kidding me.
I had a great week at the Senior Bowl.
Okay. I mean, would he catch like 30 passes in his career? I got to get a little more familiar with his skill set. I stand corrected. He caught 134 passes across five seasons. He had more than 26 catches one time. I know, and you're talking about NFL quarterback there and Tanner McKee and Davis Mills, you know? Don't tell me you didn't have a quarterback.
Okay, I don't have anything else to roast you on. Other than Puka Nacua.
I got to watch him.
What are you doing?
Watching the players in my region. And
you should watch Puka Nacua instead.
I tried to, and then he didn't practice at the Senior Bowl behind
Dave. Yeah,
one.
You know what? But he was a badass on the one day that he did practice. I
heard all about it.
And I watched defensive linemen, right?
Right. I was.
You were defense?
Day two, I'm like, I'm going to watch these receivers and corners. And then Puka was
– Puka didn't practice.
Was nowhere to be found. What's Kyle, right. I know you did an article on new arrivals to the TD.
Yeah, all 12 of them.
Any trends there for these 12 players that are new to the TD?
60% of them were Senior Bowl players.
Are we sure? Are we sure the math checks out there?
And it's 58%.
Oh, wow. You rounded up, huh?
Yep, I did round up.
Draft dudes do math.
No quarterbacks. A significant number of interior linemen on both sides of the ball.
Okay.
A couple of corners. Tyreek Stevenson made the cut. It's obviously a big riser, a newcomer. Sidney Brown didn't get enough love from the team when we did the January update. He was in the bottom, I think, bottom 10 for me on the January update. He's one of those players from my region that I saw things that I did not see on tape. And he got a pretty healthy bump for
me. He said hello to TDN at the
yes,
Senior Bowl, man. That guy was awesome.
Yes, he did. So I think it was position groups that needed it was the big thing. Like interior defensive line. You talk about Byron Young, who is a riser this time. I know Keith did the regional grade on him and gave him a lukewarm reception at first, and everybody's kind of warmed on him as we've watched more. Keanu Benton,
yeah,
I think showed a lot more versatility than probably what you expected, although I think he was always kind of a splendid set of movement skills for his size. Well, no, he's a splendid set of movement skills in general. Kalijah Kancey was a third interior defensive line. This was not a Senior Bowl player, but a player that I would imagine, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but for you is probably like what Drew Sanders was for me. When I first watched Drew Sanders, I'm like, And then you watch him more and you get a little bit more comfortable for what he is and you see what the pathway for success is and you buy in a little bit more. Is that a fair assessment of your relationship with Kalijah Kancey in regional scouting?
I'm glad you brought up Kalijah Kancey because I still believe he's one of the hardest evaluations in this class. But I think what allowed me to have a little more confidence in buying in was conversations that I've had with meaningful evaluators that seem to be willing to buy in a little bit. And so that inspired me at least to cling to the best things about Kancey and have more optimism about his path to success in the NFL as a very undersized interior defensive lineman.
So those were the big risers. Some DBs and some IDLs. And we didn't need the DBs to rise. But Tajay Spears was on that list. See how the medicals look for him. That's the big question at this point. But I think the IDL group really needed some guys to kind of fill in top 100. And we got, I think, four extra guys now that are in the top 100 than what we did before.
Get me my head spinning about who my Drew Sanders was, because I know I'm sure I have it.
A player
I've been on a journey with Zay Flowers, I will say that, about for the last 3 years.
I was going to say, this has been a multi-year saga for you.
I know who it Zay. Is. It's Matthew Bergeron. It's 100% Matthew Bergeron.
Mm.
Yeah. He's one of the players that I feel the most different about coming out of summer to the way I feel about him now. I would say that's very fair. But yeah, me and Zay Flowers, we've been on an adventure together.
Ooh, this is fun. courtesy of Jamie Eisner from Draft Network. This is a bit of a wee-woo. Updated top odds for each of these three veteran quarterbacks next team according to BetOnline.
Okay.
Do you want Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, or Derek Carr?
I'd like them all.
Which one would you like first?
Oh, Lamar Jackson.
Falcons, plus 300.
It's the best odds.
Best odds. These are Jets plus 350.
Excuse me?
Raiders plus 450.
These are money drivers, right? It's not the best odds. It's the best money drivers for Vegas.
And Bucks plus 500. Those are the four.
Like, we're not even talking about the Bucks and quarterback, are we? Like, that's something we got to start getting into.
Not as much as we should be.
They don't have money for a veteran quarterback. That's why. Their salary cap situation is
neither do the Saints, but we're talking about Derek Carr there.
But we have the pathway and the track record for the Saints to manufacture outrageous amounts of cap.
So we're just going to sit here and think that Kyle Trask is going to be the quarterback of the Bucs next year?
Why not Blaine Gabbert?
I think Joe's point still stands regardless.
Baker Mayfield.
Yikes.
Right. I don't think it's going to be pretty in Tampa Bay next year.
I mean, weather-wise, it should be pretty good.
Yeah, it's good point, solid. Joe. Solid. Aaron Rodgers. The Raiders are minus 300, the favorite.
Yeah, because everyone's going to throw their money on it to reunite Davante Adams with him, and it ain't going to happen.
I would love
the Jets
happen.
The Jets are plus 200.
Cool.
The Bucs are 14-1. And the 49ers are 16-1.
Is that the petty Aaron Rodgers move we haven't been considering? Him going to the Bucs and then having a better season?
Taking Tom's spot and having a better season? That'd be fun.
I'd love that.
He would not have a better season with Todd Bowles as the continuing head coach, though.
Be a new OC. Maybe that's why they're taking so long to pick their OC. It's been a month.
The Panthers are plus 140 for Derek Carr. Chris, I apologize. The Jets are third on the Derek Carr pecking order.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Panthers plus 140, Saints plus 150, Jets plus 300, Bucks plus 900.
Saw a report yesterday that he is going to explore all options. So this is not just Saints or bust. So feels like it's going to be a lengthy process for Derek.
Well, he's going to have a month head start on everybody else regardless. So
love to hear it for him.
There's a lot riding on the line here. This is Chris Schubert's new second favorite team, wherever he signs, I'm sure. Right?
Depends. Because there's going to be some pain that he's not on my team, you know?
Yeah, but the other alternatives feel like they're NFC teams.
Right, but can we very quickly, I don't want to make this about me, but like the guy that I champion
talk about me
more than any other quarterback in the league is a free agent. My team needs a quarterback, and like it's not going to happen. Like that hurts. Like, I think about it a lot. Like, do you know how happy I'd be if Derek Carr was my quarterback? Like, it would be the perfect melding of worlds.
Has this ever happened for you?
Until
guys,
it didn't work.
Where your team did the thing you wanted them to do at quarterback? It's never happened for me.
It did. 2 years ago, number two overall. Look where that got me.
You got Josh Rosen, right, Kyle?
I got Rosen a year later. Yeah, I wanted to trade for Rosen. I thought it was a no-brainer. Roll of the dice opportunity came up snake eyes, but the alternative was you were going to, what, the 62nd pick actually ended up being like Andy Isabella? Like, okay. Oof. Now, they could have drafted DK Metcalf.
Was that the Jalen Hurts year?
No, it was the year after.
Okay.
No, it was the year before.
What about Drew Locke?
Not a math guy.
Sorry. Not a math guy. I have one more question, random question for you guys before we wrap up for the day.
Okay. Yeah. We did what was the TDM 100 conversation is kind of derailed here at the end, but that's okay.
Well, yeah, we got off the rails. You have to pick one act to be next year's Super Bowl halftime performance, and it's tailored for you.
Oh, is he? What do you mean tailored for me?
It's who you would most enjoy doing halftime.
Oh, okay.
It's Garth. Yep. It's Garth.
It's easy.
Who? Okay.
It's Taylor Garth Swift.
I think this is a great answer that sums up all three of us. So well done.
Gentlemen. What's your answer?
Mine?
Yeah, you're not getting off the hook here.
Zed.
I don't hate that, Kyle. I don't hate that.
That would be a good halftime show. It would be a banger. Just like Zed. Who's Zed?
Yeah, you see him? He's brand new, typing on the. It's with two D's, Joe. There's two D's.
Yeah, there's two D's. Z E D D.
I think his name is Anton Selzvosky.
He made every radio hit banger that was even remotely EDM over the last 10 years.
Oh, he did the middle all the way out. All the way out on this guy.
Bad take from the guy who said Garth Brooks. Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna let you like
single. I'm gonna let you like most successful solo recording act in the history of music,
according to who?
Billboard. Garth Brooks is the. It's not.
I'm saying, is that domestic or worldwide?
Oh, I bet it is. I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah. See, now he backed down real quick there.
Worldwide, we could do Mr. Worldwide. We could do Pitbull.
305.
That'd be pretty good.
That would. I don't know about pretty good, but how many Pitbull songs can you name off the top of your head?
How many Pitbull songs can I name off the top of my head?
Best song.
I don't think I can name any.
Man, this is not a good start.
He's ahead of Elvis, so he's number two all time in domestic album sales, behind the Beatles and ahead of Elvis.
Ahead of the Beatles, the most overrated band of all time. Great.
Yeah, the Beatles.
Great take. Yeah, great take.
100%. Great take.
This it's absurd.
Beatles are not good. Right. But
yeah, they're
objectively bad.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody that listens to us is in a demographic that would take exception.
By the way. We might have started something with the three of us very just in lockstep that the Beatles are overrated. We might have opened a can of worms.
That's okay. Joe said,
with my answer of
come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is the most successful solo recording artist in the history of music.
Worldwide?
Yeah, solo. Yeah, because the Beatles are one. So, yes, worldwide. But
you said domestic.
Sales.
Domestic is not worldwide. Domestic is United States.
God, save me, Chris, on that.
Draft dudes do math.
He's not going to save me.
It's staying in, Joseph. It's staying in.
That's going to do it for us today on the show. We'll do continued research on or Garth Brooks standing as a worldwide solo act. For tomorrow on the show, Kyle Krebs, Jordan, and Chris Schubert. Thanks to our friends over at BetOnline for their continued support of the show. Appreciate you guys checking it out. Peace. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.
Thanks for being here for another episode of the Draft Dudes Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. While you are at it, help the dudes out by leaving a rating and review.
Want more?
Head over to www.thedraftnetwork.com or follow us at The Draft Network on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.